What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Sassy Scribe of Situations with Sassy, coming to you once again with another hot fire show here on Bashani Radio, New York City, and worldwide on the top three podcasting platforms. That is iHeart, iTunes, and Spotify. I want to thank you for continuing to listen, like, download, and share Situations with Sassy. I come to you each and every week, trying to give you a different form of information related to love, sex, and dating. We all know that love, sex, and dating is like a drug. That's why I label it LSD. It's addictive. We all want it. A lot of us say we don't need it, but we all want love from that special person, and we all want to feel love, that love from that special person. Over the past few days, I've been binge watching a lot of TV. It's rainy. It's beautiful today, but it has been rainy and wet and cold and dreary here in the DMV. I really don't like going out in the rain, so I've been staying home cooking. My ass is getting a little bit fatter, hey, but I'm staying home and I'm watching all of these reality shows, but I'm also on social media. And I'm looking at the rhetoric, more importantly, the misogynistic rhetoric coming from black men, from feeble-minded, weak-ass men who want to fully, in some way, shape, or form, control how women think, how we dressed, how we act, like the very aspect of who we are. But more importantly, I see and witness any black woman who is fully aware of and unapologetic about her enjoying sex and wanting sex and owning her sexual energy that they may give off. And I'm listening to black men tear these women down and call them for the streets. Or more importantly, leftover women. Because honestly, we really don't fully come into ourselves as grown women. And I'm speaking from my older sisters telling me, you'll know yourself as you turn 30. And when you turn 40, it'll really, you know, click. And when you turn 50, honey, it's on and popping. At 60, you don't give a flying fuck. Okay? So watching women come into who they are, come into their sexuality, and knowing ourselves as grown women, I mean fully, automatically knowing who we are and that we really do enjoy sex and how we like sex, how often we want sex and where we want to be touched and what it is that we like and what it is that we don't like, and how we, in our 20s, we may have been a little more crass about telling men certain things. And in our 30s, we learn to couch it a little bit better. And in our 40s, we were very direct. And in our 50s, it's like, look, this is what you need to do to get me where I need to be so I can get you. Because I know I'm doing my part. And we have no problem explaining that to men on how to touch us or how to caress us. And like I said, what it is that we like, what it is that we don't like. And we have absolutely no problem seducing men in the bedroom as well, and we're being attacked for it. And the older we get, like I said, the more you understand. And now listen, in my 20s, I was just doing what I was doing because it felt good, not really understand the difference between sex and making love and quickies and all of these different things that I had to learn about myself over time. And I've been watching, having said that, I've been watching a lot of reality TV, dating shows. And I know I've said in past podcasts that it doesn't benefit black women to go on reality dating shows other than to increase their exposure, elevate their brand, you know, line your pockets, make your money, ka-ching, ka-ching. Because it gives you a brand now. You have companies will reach out to you as a brand ambassador for them because they've seen you on reality TV. People start to follow your social media from these shows that you've been on. Like I said, to increase their brand, and you know, they know that in the grand scheme of things that white man out of all of the blondes and blue-eyed brunettes at his fingertips is highly, 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 highly unlikely on a national stage that if you make it to the final four or five or whatever the final number is, three or two, whatever, that he's going to choose you. And I'm not saying not to go on these shows. What I'm saying is be realistic about the chances of them choosing you. Because in the back of their mind, they know on a national platform, some of their friends may not have even known that they would be open to dating women of other races, other persons of color. But one of the main reasons why I watch these shows is because of the rhetoric. The rhetoric is slammed around black women and how we are, the rhetoric is framed around how black women, how we are the most unloved, most uncoupled, the most single woman on earth. But yet we see a plethora of dating shows where 70% of the dating contestants are white men and women. And maybe 10% black, 2 or 3% Hispanic, 2 or 3% Asian, you know, but the majority of these shows on major networks are by, for, and about white people. And yes, there are exceptions to the rule. The Bachelorette, when they had Rachel Lindsay as the Bachelorette, and she had an even number of black, white, Asian, Hispanic men competing for affections, she ended up marrying a Cuban doctor. I think he's a chiropractor. She was an attorney. But she was non-threatening to the majority of people. And by non-threatening, I mean she wasn't going to scare the people in the Bible Belt, because the stereotype is she's so articulate. She was smart. She was soft. She was feminine. And she was very engaging and very likable. That's how she became the Bachelorette. So she ends up marrying and is still married to the gentleman that she met on her show, Brian Abasolo. Fine as wine. And then you have fast forward to Love is Blind on Netflix. And season one, you have Lauren Speed and Cameron Hamilton, which is another exception, just like Rachel and Brian. It's another exception to the rule. Because as you watch subsequent seasons of Love is Blind, you see that they're doing their level best. The producers are trying to pick out couples that is going to give them that Lauren and Cameron. And there's another successful couple from that season, Amber and Barnett. And they're trying to get that magic sauce back that they can't quite seem to get. But again, Rachel and Brian, Cameron and Lauren are the exceptions. They're not the rule. They are the exceptions that these black women go on these shows and that they find love. And what we're witnessing is people not being authentic, and that everybody's now looking for their 15 minutes because now they know, let me get on these reality shows that I can elevate my brand. I can gain more followers. I can become a brand ambassador for some big name company. And that is how they're looking at it. I mean, it's social media. Social media is the blessing, and social media is also the fucking curse. Okay. So when we look at that, we see that everybody, as authentic as the individuals in the first season were, that we're not getting that in the subsequent seasons. And they're not really ready because they're going into it with high expectations. The idea of falling in love with an individual through a wall. Love the concept. Because you get to know them as a person. You're knowing their values, what they like, what they don't like, what makes them happy, what makes them sad. And some people go deep and share a lot. Some people are still bringing their representative and not allowing you to get deep and not allowing you to be open. So now you connect with this individual because the experiment is trying to get you to understand that likes, looks are superficial. And if you really want to know a person and get to know who they are, you really need to go deep. And it's beyond looks, because looks will fade. I don't give a fuck how fine you are, how thick you are, how fit you are. Age is going to affect all of us eventually. All of us are going to be affected by it. So do you want this beautiful bombshell that's going to drop you at the first sign of adversity? Do you want this handsome, fit, high-value man that's going to drop you after you done shit out two or three babies for him and gained a little weight and you got that fupa that he's not really feeling? It's more about who these individuals are. But it's not without its faults, because you see these people eventually. And if anybody has watched Love is Blind, you see, you meet each other through the wall. And the only way you get to meet each other is if you decide that you want to get married. And that's when some of the bullshit and the fuckery comes in. Because you've really connected with this person, but through a wall, you've imagined what this person to you, based on their voice, you've pictured them a certain way. So now you get to see them and boom, this isn't who you expected them to look like. It's not who you thought they would be. Because you are still listening to that voice in your head. And that image, they didn't give it to you. The image you gave yourself in your head doesn't mesh with the reality. And that's, like I said, that's when the disaster strikes. But again, these shows are a makeup of races. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So now we're going to fast forward even more to shows that are more specific to the Melanated Collective. If you watch Oprah's network like I do on OWN, you have Ready to Love, which is hosted by Nephew Tommy, where you get a bunch of black single individuals in their early mid-20s up to their early to mid-50s. And they go through the process of elimination and dating and who it is they want. And they're basically competing, because listen, all of the shows, they're all competitions, just like The Bachelorette and Love is Blind. Who you're going to connect with and who you're going to make that connection with. But it's basically about black men and women. And you see that black men want love just as much as black women do. But the narrative is formed and fashioned around black women only wanting love. And if we go on social media and you listen to social media, whether it's a podcast, a thread, a meme, a gift, whatever, it will have you believing that relationships are for simps and suckers. That no man is going to benefit from the love of a good woman, and that no woman is going to benefit from the love of a good man. And that's one of the curses, like I said, of social media. And I hate it so damn much that people are buying into the belief. And I saw a quote on a friend's page on Facebook, and I reposted it to my Instagram page. But it basically said that lots of women would rather stay single because they're tired of giving their everything and ending up with nothing. And I felt that. The women in my circle that are single felt that. It's not that we don't want somebody. We're tired of pouring into people that won't pour into us. So now we're gun shy, we're hesitant, reticent, we're very, I want to say pessimistic, maybe a little cynical and jaded when it comes to, you know, really wanting to put ourselves out there. And I'm saying all of that to say that I watched another reality show and I binged the whole thing. And, you know, because of the rain, I pretty much had no life this weekend. I did go shopping. Got to put that in there. Got some really good deals. Anyway, but it was on Peacock and it was called The Queen's Court. At first, I was really hesitant. I didn't want to watch it because a couple of the ladies that are in the show, I'm not really fans of. But I gave it a shot. So The Queen's Court is on Peacock. Peacock is not sponsored. Situations with Sassy. And neither have these ladies. But I am letting people know that If you want to watch a reality show about love, if you want to watch an authentic reality show about love and get a different take on these individuals, this is the show to do it. So it stars Tamar Braxton, who is from the DMV, right up the street from my exes, is where she grew up. They all went to high school together. They all know each other. He still knows, you know. Anyway, and Evelyn Lozada, if you remember her, she was married to Chad Ochocinco for like 40-some days. She's known for the Real Basketball Wives, a Basketball Wives franchise created by Shawnee O'Neal. And then there's Nivea. I knew nothing about Nivea at all. Nothing at all about Nivea. As a matter of fact, I thought it was Lil Wayne's daughter, but turns out it's Lil Wayne's baby mama. And she was also, I think, married to The Dream. I'm a fan of Lil Wayne, know very little about The Dream, but she's an entertainer. All of these women are high value women, high profile women. And they're dating 21 men. And of course, you know, they're going to date. You're going to eliminate. But I'm going to be honest. Like I said, I wasn't a fan of the aforementioned, two of the aforementioned females, just from the shenanigans that I saw them get up to on their previous reality shows. And again, the third young lady, I had no idea who she was, but I love her. I love her spirit. I love her authenticity. I love that she is who the hell she is 100% of the time. So if some way, shape, or form, Nivea, you happen to listen to this podcast or somebody shares it with you, just know that, girl, you remind me of me so much. I'm 5 foot and round, just like you. And but in watching this reality series, I've seen the work that Tamar and Evelyn have put into themselves, the healing that they have done that has allowed them to see and be open and engaging and authentic and present in the scariest moments of their vulnerability. And opening their hearts to these men. Because being vulnerable is scary. Like, I have no problem showing men in my life that I'm into them. I'll buy for them. Those are the acts of service and gifts. And those are my love languages. That expresses to you. It lets you know that I care about you enough to be willing to cook for you. And looking forward to doing things like that. And then I saw Nivea, who had a connection with two very different men. And one of them was the man that she wanted, and one of them was the one that she needed. But it showed the vulnerability and how torn up she was inside it. Because you can only choose one, right? At having to choose. And what I really liked about this the most is that these women weren't afraid to cry. They weren't afraid to dig deep. And it actually had me crying watching this because I felt their emotions. When I'm in therapy with my therapist and they're telling me things that I don't want to hear and those hard-ass conversations that we all need to have and that I have to have with myself, you know, and not being sassy and being Sandra and having to understand and recognize that I am part of the problem. And to see that these women have gone through the healing to understand, learn, and recognize that this is what they want. That this is not what they want, but what they need at the end of the season, because there's only 10 episodes, you're going to be in tears because you can see the growth that they've done prior to the show, and you can see the growth that they've done during this experiment. And throughout some of the episodes, I was crying because you know where when you're healing and you're going through the therapy and you're doing the work, you recognize yourself in these ladies and the fears that you had or have. And these women are in their mid to early 40s. And, you know, they recognize that they don't want to continue to do the things that they're doing because their picker hasn't been right. So they go on this show or they create this show. I don't know if they created. I didn't stick around for the credits to create this show. But I love the platform. I love this platform. And I can see other dating reality shows, you know, biting off of this platform. But the fact that they have Holly Robinson Pete and her husband Rodney Pete as kind of like overarching moderators, because they are the epitome of successful black love. And you have these three successful black entertainers who weren't afraid to bear it all on national TV to these men who are regular Joes. They're not entertainers. They're not in their circles at all, but are still high value men because of their morals and their values, because of their character. And for those ladies to recognize that it was those things that was more important to them than anything else will hopefully lead them to the love that they not only want, but the love they deserve, because for so long, they've been taking the love that they thought they deserved and not the true love that they deserve. And I know it sounds crazy. So when I say, when I see black men speaking negatively about how, about this show and this show, these women are leftover women, and now they want good men that they've, after they've whored around their whole life, and now all of a sudden a light bulb goes off and there's an epiphany, and they want a good, decent, morally, ethical standing man. And I see black men who speak this bullshit, whose longest relationship may have been 40 fucking days, who've never really been in a relationship, but more importantly, haven't healed from the hurt from that one bad relationship 25 years ago in their 20s, and now they're in their mid-40s, complaining about having to spend $40 on a date, are the men that these ladies have complained about. And these are the men that they accepted that type of love because that's what they felt they deserved. And to see that they've moved forward from these men, these types of men, and that they've healed from this type of misogynistic attitude and that fucking white noise, they don't even hear it anymore. But it doesn't stop them from doubting themselves and their gut. And I know I talk about this, and I feel the need to talk about this, because going into therapy and being in therapy, I understand and recognize that these men are just broken little boys, and they have so much trauma that they need to heal. Because they're here by the grace of God through the vessel of a black woman's body. And for them not to have any form of positive qualities to attest and affirm about black women shows me, as I troll through their social media pages, I don't even comment anymore, I just read and just shake my head, but it lets me know that they themselves haven't done the healing. If you can still hold on to this heartbreak from 20 years ago, and I've said on my show plenty of times that black women have had their heart ripped, torn out, stomped, burnt, stabbed, eviscerated, cremated, and we've still been able to put the pieces of that back together and still be open to wanting love. But I look at these shows that are by us and for us about black love, more importantly, as an example, the show on the Oprah Network, Black Love. And I have to applaud Oprah's network for touting love and how people met, and for showing connections, and especially the TV show Black Love, and showing how they got over and got through their storms and trials and tribulations. But more importantly, for these shows like Ready to Love, where it shows that not all men are emotionally unavailable, and that they too are buying into the fact that they don't want or need love, but they absolutely desire love. So they're no longer disconnected, and they're actually buying into the fact that they don't want to grow, you know, old alone. They're dispelling that myth. And you'll have misogynistic men calling them simps or suckers, and you'll have other men who understand and recognize the value that their woman has brought into their lives and how their lives have been upgraded because of her. That, again, white noise, will be relegated to the back and you don't even hear it. So that's it for this edition of Situations with Sassy. Remember to live every moment, laugh every day, and love beyond words. And I will talk to you in a week. Peace.